Today is Saturday, the 4th of January, 2025, and we're gathered here for the 166th Mindfulness for Beginners session. On behalf of the organizers, I'd like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, representing the Nisarnawane Forest Monastery, to today's session. Avasarai Banthe. We would also like to welcome all the organizers and the participants in this session, whether you're taking part here via Zoom or joining us on Facebook or listening to this recording later. Before we start today's program, I'd like to encourage everyone who feels able to do so to share their camera feed. It's always helpful to be able to see each other as we take part in this session. It gives us a sense of community. And with that, I would now like to invite Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to start today's program with our in-session mindfulness practice, the usual way we start these sessions. Over to you, Bhante, with much merits.
Thanks, Arosha. Hello, everyone. So today I thought that we can do a walking session to start today's program. All of us will take about 15 minutes to practice mindful walking today. For this, you need some space where you can walk back and forth, probably like 10, 15 feet. That type of a space would do. Select your space and start walking in a comfortable manner in your natural rhythm. And once you're walking, just try to be mindful of the process and notice that you feel the walking body. When you pay your attention, you might start noticing the sensations of your feet, the texture, temperature of the ground you might feel, which parts of your feet is touching the ground. Maybe it is the heel that's touched first, maybe then the ball of your feet and the toes. That way we try to focus, we try to bring our attention to the walking and try to take mindful steps. Your attention is there, you feel the steps. That way we try to walk for a while. And time to time, our mind gets distracted, maybe with the thoughts surrounding sights or storytelling based on the sounds that you hear. That way, our mind goes away. We get distracted with different things. But after a while, you realize that you are distracted and you can gently return your attention back to the walking. Try to notice the sensations of your feet again. Try to take few mindful steps. Time after time, you get distracted, but you can realize it and you can return back to the walking. That way, let's try to practice mindful walking for about 15 minutes. When you hear the bell, you can return to your seats. Okay, everyone. Now you can return back to your seats. So that was our time to practice mindful walking for today. This is just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own and try to improve your mindfulness. With that, Arosha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Panthe. Next, we come to the section of the program where we invite Panthe to deliver a brief talk on mindfulness to further support our practice. Therefore, I would like to once again invite Venerable Homa Gama Dhammakusala Thero to deliver this talk and help us continue to develop our mindfulness practice. Over to you, Panthe. Much merits.
Okay, everyone. So today we have a topic which is a continuation from last time, and we will see how we can relate this topic to our practice and our daily lives. So this is one of the quotes from a movie, which is I think it's a popular movie, Kung Fu Panda. And it has this very nice quote, something related to the practice, and we can really relate it to our daily lives as well. So it's about the illusion of control. It says, "Look at this tree. I cannot make it blossom when it suits me, nor make it bear fruit before its time." So that's the quote from the movie. And this is about the illusion of control. And we can really relate this idea to our lives as well. Now, when we deal with certain things, when we deal with other people, in our mind, always we worry. We create these compulsive thoughts about different things that happen. Sometimes we think about people and their actions, and we try to blame them for behaving such a way, or we try to blame the world for these problems or incidents that we are facing. Right? So this way, always our mind is centering around ourselves. It's like the whole universe is rotating around you. You are the center of this whole universe. You think that you have responsibility for everything. You think that you try to control these incidents, these people, and their behaviors. So this is the mind, untrained mind at work. This mind is always creating this self, or creating this idea or illusion of control. It is thinking, it is creating these thought patterns, saying that all these incidents are happening and you are responsible. All the actions of these people, you are responsible. And that way you worry. You worry about these incidents that happen. You worry about the actions of other people. This way, you try to control things. That's where we can relate this quote into the practice. It says that you try to control even the nature. You try to, you know, if you are a gardener, then you try to control when the trees blossom. You try to control when they bear fruit, right? That way, our mind is trying to control all these incidents and trying to control the people in our lives. This way, the mind is at work. This way, the mind is creating worries time after time. This way, the mind is creating anxiety, compulsive thoughts. That is the behavior of the untrained, untamed mind. And that's how it works. So initially, let's say in the practice also, we try to control our mind. We try to stop thoughts from coming. We try to be mindful all the time. We try not to worry about these incidents or the people. But that never works, because this behavior, it is so powerful. It has a great momentum. Time after time, these thoughts come. Time after time, these worries come. Time after time, these compulsive thought patterns appear. So what can we do in the practice of mindfulness? We suggest that you become aware of the behavior of your mind. Let's say when we do mindful walking, even today we tried to practice mindful walking, our intention is to stay with our feet. We try to be aware of our feet while walking. That simple object we try to pay our attention to. But when you try this, let's say if you are a beginner, when you try this, you realize your mind is all over the place. You try to stay with your feet, but you can't do it. You get various thoughts, memories come to your mind. Family problems, they appear in your mind. Even the surrounding sounds, sights, they create some stories. This way, if you are new to mindfulness, when you try practicing mindfulness, you realize you can't really be mindful, or you can't really stay with the sensations of your feet. Even, let's say, mindful sitting, we try to stay with our breathing. We sit in a comfortable manner, we close our eyes, and we try to bring our attention to the breathing in our body, the natural breath that appears in our body. And we try to stay with the breathing mindfully. And when you try this, after a few seconds, few minutes, you realize that it is really difficult. Sometimes certain irritations, pain appear in your body. Some of you might feel sleepy when you try this. Some of you might get various thoughts, memories, family problems. These things come and grab your attention. This way, when you try it, you realize it is really difficult to stay with the breathing. Right? So, very first realization or very first insight when you start this practice is that you can't really stay with the breathing. You can't really stay with the walking sensations. It is really difficult. And you realize that your mind is all over the place. Okay, so that's the very first step of the practice. You realize how unmindful your mind is, how much of a momentum it has. That is the very first experience of your practice, of your mindful practice. And most people, they get discouraged with this behavior. They say that I tried practicing mindfulness. It is not easy. My mind is all over the place. This practice doesn't work for me. That complaint we hear time after time. But the way of the practice is, you have to train yourself repetitively. It's like, you know, learning to drive. When you take the vehicle for the very first time, it is really difficult. If you are driving a manual vehicle, then when you change gears, it's really difficult. Right? You struggle to drive the vehicle. But that is how you start. And when you do the repetitive practice, after a few weeks, few months, you become really good at driving. Okay, same goes for the practice as well. Initially, when you try for a couple of days, it's not easy, but you don't give up. Little by little, every day, try to do a few minutes of mindful walking. Try to do a few minutes of mindful sitting. That way you approach this. For a beginner, we recommend at least try to do 20 minutes of mindful walking and sitting daily. That way you have to little by little strengthen your practice. Try to do the mindful walking daily for 20 minutes. Try to do a mindful sitting session for 20 minutes. And that way you start this practice little by little. When you do it for a few days, few weeks, then you realize you improve the ability to be mindful. Now you realize during the walking, I can be mindful of most of the steps. During the sitting time, I can be mindful of my breathing. The thoughts come, surrounding sounds are there, bodily difficulties are there. But among all these things, I am becoming better and better, paying attention to my breathing, paying attention to the walking sensations. That way you have to start this practice. Initial experiences are not that encouraging. But little by little, you have to develop your mindfulness and try to improve your practice. That way you have to approach. And when you do this, you realize how much of a momentum this mind has. You can't really control its behavior all of a sudden. It takes a lot of time for you to even understand this. The beginners, they think that they can control the behavior of this mind. They try it, and sometimes they get really exhausted trying to control the behavior of this mind. But you have to approach it gently. You have to allow these compulsive thoughts to happen. Among these things, among these thoughts, among these worries, you try to gently bring your attention back to the breathing or back to the walking sensations. That way only you can improve the practice. Otherwise, what you will do is you will try to exhaust yourself because you think that you have the control of this mind, the illusion of control. Same goes for the practice as well. Most of the practitioners, they think that they can all of a sudden control the behavior of this mind. They can get rid of the thoughts. They try to suppress the thoughts that appear in their mind. That is not the proper practice. That is not what we are recommending. Instead, it is more about understanding the behavior of this mind. Of course, we try to be with the breathing. Of course, we try to be with the walking sensations. That is true. But in the process, you get a great opportunity to understand the behavior of this mind. When you try to focus your attention on the breathing, you realize time after time, certain thoughts appear. Certain worries appear. Maybe even the forgotten family problems might appear in your mind. So it gives some insight about yourself. It tells what are the worries that are there in your mind. Some of you might tell that the surrounding sounds or the sights, they are more disturbing. That's your experience. But some of you will tell that the thoughts are disturbing. Past, future, thoughts, planning, then family problems. These things are more disturbing for certain people. And some of the people, they will feel this bodily discomfort. Bodily sensations, pain appear. And those are the things that disturb them. Right. So that way, in a way, you are identifying your own mind, the behavior of this mind. It is a well, it's valuable to know what are the things that come to my mind. When I try to be with the breathing, what grabs my attention? That shows some information about yourself. That gives some insight into your own mind, right? So this process, it too is a part of the practice. Whatever the distractions that appear, that tells something about yourself, right? So that way, you have to accept these distractions. You have to accept these thoughts. Among all these things, you try to be mindful of your breathing. You gently try to bring your attention back to the walking sensations. So that is the proper approach. And when you try this, you realize sometimes you worry about family matters. Sometimes you worry about the incidents that happens. Maybe even these wars that are there in the world. Sometimes you worry about them. Sometimes certain fears appear. Sometimes you fear about the future of your children. Sometimes you worry about family problems. Sometimes you worry about finances, right? So this way, you realize various thoughts, worries, compulsive thought patterns. These things appear in your mind. And most of these things, they are out of your control. You can't really do anything about them. But your mind never stops worrying about them. That's the funny thing. You realize you can't really do anything about these things, but still your mind worries. Still your mind is creating fears. Still your mind is thinking about these things. Right? So you realize in your conscious mind, you realize that you have no control over certain of these worries. But still, in your unconscious mind, these worries appear from it. Again and again, the same worries. Again and again, same compulsive thought patterns. Again and again, same fears appear. Right? So this way, you realize, although you have no control, your mind is still worrying about these things. There might be some things that you are partly in control. Certain things are there. You can do your part, but the rest, you can't really have much control. Certain things, you can think that they are really under your control. But most of these worries, they are out of your control. You can't really do anything about it, but your mind keeps worrying about them. Your mind keeps creating fears about them. Your mind keeps creating these compulsive thoughts about them. Right? So that way, you realize the behavior, you become more and more conscious of this behavior. This illusion of control. The mind is thinking that it has control over these things, these incidents, these people. That way, these thoughts, worries, compulsive thoughts appear. Right? So what can we do? That is the important question. What can we do about this? Your mind keeps worrying about them, although you have no control over these things. So most people think that this mind, I can't change it. That's the conclusion that most people will come. They say that this is acting due to past karma, past causes. So I can't really change this. These worries come out of nowhere. I can't really change them. That is true when you consider the present behavior of your mind. But you have to understand the present behavior of this mind. It has past causes. Due to the past causes, this current behavior is there. But there is a promise, there is hope. What is the hope? That you can create good causes in the present. And due to those causes, the future will change itself. How can you create good causes in the present? You can be mindful. Every mindful step that you take, it's creating good causes in the present. Every mindful breath that you take, it is creating good causes in the present. Every mindful bite that you take, it is creating good causes in the present. Although this mind has momentum, although this mind has past causes, you can change it by changing the present. That is the hope that's there. Right? Even in sciences, we hear about these things. They talk about neuroplasticity. The brain, they say that you can change it. The neural networks, the pathways, you can change them. Current behaviors, current compulsive thoughts are due to the current patterns, current pathways. But if you try new things, if you try different ways, then those pathways will change and you can change your brain for the better or for the worst, right? So when we practice mindfulness, in a way, we are creating causes for a better change, right? So that way, there is this promise, there's this hope that we can change the behavior of this mind. But it takes time, it takes effort, right? So every day we try to create some good causes. How? Few minutes of mindful walking, few minutes of mindful sitting. Daily we try to practice. Even in our daily activities, we try to be mindful every now and then. Sometimes when it comes to daily activities, you have to go with the flow. Sometimes you are multitasking. I know those things are complicated. But among these things, every now and then you can be mindful. Every 20, 30 minutes, just check in with yourself whether you are mindful. Pay attention to what you are doing. Okay, I am having my meals. Just notice what are the sensations that you feel. Okay, I'm drinking something. Just notice what are the sensations that you feel. Okay, you are walking somewhere. Just notice the walking sensations. You are talking to somebody. Just notice that conversation. That way, even our daily lives, we can be mindful every now and then. That way we try to approach this mind. That way we try to change the mind for the better. Initially, when you do for like few days, few weeks, you can't really notice a change in this mind. That is natural because it has a lot of momentum from the past. So it is natural that you don't notice much of a change. But when you do few months of practice, little by little, you are experiencing a change in this mind. You can feel that the mind is changing, right? Sometimes during a crisis, you realize this. Sometimes a family problem appears. You used to worry about these things a lot in the past. But due to this new practice, or due to the mindful practice, you realize now I am not worrying so much about this. I still worry, but not as much as I used to worry in the past. Right? So that way, only after a few months, you start to realize that your mind has changed for the better. Still, the worries are there, but you are not worrying so much. Still, the fears are there, but they are not occupying so much space in your mind. Still, the compulsive thoughts are there, but they are not so impactful. Right? So that way, little by little, we start to experience how the mind is changing due to the practice. That's the only way. Otherwise, if you try to let go of the worrying thoughts, that won't happen. If you try to let go of this illusion of control, that won't happen. That is not the way to approach this mind. Most people, they simply try to let go of these thoughts. They try to stop the thoughts that are coming into your mind. They try to suppress them. That is their meditation. But that's a good way to get a headache, probably. Right? If you try this, if you try to suppress your thoughts, after a while you feel there's a headache. Right? That's not the way. If you try to stop worrying thoughts, then you might get another trouble after a while. So you can't really change this mind like that. What you can do, you can create good causes in the present. How to create good causes? Every step that you are mindful, it is creating good causes. Every breath that you notice mindfully, it is creating good causes. And little by little, you realize your mind is understanding this illusion of control. It is naturally letting go of the unnecessary worries. And that will empty the capacity of your mind as well. Usually, our minds are mostly occupied with these thoughts, these worries, these fears. That is how we function. Let's say you go to work, but something happened at home, right? Maybe an argument or something like that. You are at the workplace, you work for many hours, but when you really pay attention to yourself, you realize your mind is mostly occupied with the family problem. Although you spent many hours at work, your hours weren't that productive. Why? Because your mind was occupied with something else, right? So these worries, these compulsive thoughts, these fears, they occupy much of the capacity of our minds. We work, we function, but our work is not that productive. We function like zombies, but our attention is really not there. Right? So when you let go of these fears, when you let go of these worries, when you let go of these compulsive thought patterns, you realize you are freeing up capacity of your mind. You can pay attention to things and do them much more successfully. You are becoming more aware of your surroundings. You start to notice the nature, probably sound of a bird, you start to notice, you become more and more conscious of your surrounding. Your situational awareness improves. Why? Because your mind is having more freed up capacity. Your mind is not so occupied with these thoughts, worries, or fears. Right? So that way, you realize there's this change that has happened in your life. you are more present with the people, maybe your family members. They too notice a change in you. They too realize that you are more present with them. You are listening to what they are saying. You are more attentive of your surroundings. You have more situational awareness when you face different incidents, people. Right? So that way, you realize this change, this practice, it is freeing up even the capacity of your mind. Much more empty capacity is there in your mind, and you can use that capacity for whatever the purpose that you are willing. Right? So this way, you realize little by little, although the mind is still worrying, it is not worrying so much. Although there are problems, you don't occupy your mind with those problems that much. Although there are fears, compulsive thoughts, they are not occupying the mind so much. That way, this illusion of control, you are realizing this illusion, your mind is realizing this illusion due to the practice. There is no other way. Little by little, when you create good causes in the future, in the present, you realize your mind is changing for the better. That's the way. That's the approach that we have to take. And let's say, sometimes, let's say a beginner, they have so many problems. They have so many worries. They have so many fears. Most of these worries, problems, fears, this mind will tell you they are due to the outside causes. This person is creating so many problems in my life. That way your mind will think. This situation, this incident is creating so much fear in my mind. That way you will think. Right? For a beginner, they think that their worries, they have outside reasons. Their fears, they have outside reasons. That way they think. Even last, let's say, probably like a few days ago, there was this program here during the New Year's time, and a lot of noise was coming from the village. They were having some kind of a concert or something. So a lot of noise, music coming from the village. And the people who were participating in the program, they were complaining that due to the village noises, I couldn't be mindful. Due to the concert, my mindfulness was broken. So that way, they were complaining. Right? So I asked them, what is the reason? Is it the sound that is troubling you? Is it your mind? Then after a while, they realize it is not the sound that is troubling them. It is the mind that troubles the sounds in the surrounding. Right? You are chasing after the sound, not that the sound is chasing after you. Right? So that way, little by little, when you practice, you realize there are no problems in the outside world. The problems are created in your mind itself. There are no worries in the outside world. The worries are created in your mind itself. There are no fears in the outside world. The fears are created in your mind itself. Right? So that there is the source. There is the source of this creation. There's the source of these worries, problems. Little by little, you realize this. And when the clarity of your mind is enhanced, you realize little by little, the problems are also disappearing. The worries are also disappearing. The fears are also disappearing. Not because outside things have changed. Outside situations are the same. The people are the same, but your mind has changed. The clarity is enhanced. When the clarity is enhanced, you realize the problems are disappearing. The worries are disappearing. The fears are disappearing. And let's say one day, if your mind reaches its utmost clarity, what will happen? Then there won't be any problems in this world. There won't be any worries in this world. There won't be any fears in this world. Because your mind has reached its utmost clarity. And you have get rid of the reasons for all these problems, worries, fears. That's the way, that's the approach. That is how you can really change this mind for the better. I hope you get the idea of this illusion of control. And that's what I have to share for today. Thank you for listening.
Much merit, Spante. Thank you very much for that really interesting talk. Really important things to take away around how mindfulness can help us in our daily lives as well. So now we come to the part of the program where we recollect the beginner's guide instructions for this program, as well as hear from all the participants who have shared practice reports with an opportunity for a question and answer as well. So for this, I would like to hand over to Panchani, who will first guide us through the beginner's guide and then the reports. Over to you, Panchani. Much merits.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year to everybody. Can you hear me, Arosha?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, I believe that Arosha will share the YouTube video that Nisarinwane has prepared for all of you. So Nisarinwane has prepared a YouTube video to guide you with your practice for your mindful sitting and for your mindful walking. So you can allocate a small time during your day for your practice, and you can continue until you complete about 2 hours of practice in total. You can write down your practice as a reflection report. You can write your questions or as a statement. You can write it under titles of mindful sitting, mindful walking, and mindfulness during your day-to-day life. You can describe what you felt during your walking practice, the sensations under your feet, if it is your sitting practice, what you felt, how your in-breath, your out-breath, and the gap between. If it's your walking practice, you can describe the sensations at your feet, the pressure points of the soles. You can describe how your body weight shifted. You can describe pressure points, your incoming and outgoing thoughts, raising of the abdomen if it's sitting practice, how breath was going at your nostrils, the subtle breath. Then you can email your reports to beginners@gmail.com or send as a Google form. You can continue your mindfulness practice according to the advice given for your report by Bante during the sessions. Recordings of the sessions are also available at the link given by Arosha here. So with that said, I think I can go on to reading the reports, Arosha.
Yes, please go ahead, Much.
So let me get the reports for today. Let me just bear with me. Let me just open it up. I had it and then it's gone. Okay, so we have received one report today. I start with mindful walking. Walked on carpet floor. Attention was on feet movements and body weight shifting. Noted energy in mind. Feel of clothes touching ankles and back, observed. Walking had become automatic at some point. It needed to watch details of walking. Mindfulness allowed it, and it needed to see walking as a cyclical process. Mindfulness allowed that to happen too. Walked for 50 minutes, both body and mind felt energetic and alert afterwards. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and a quick body scan took place. Position adjusted slightly. Breath noted near nostrils. In-breath cooler and out-breath warmer. Observe longer and shorter breaths when these occurred. Breath had become softer and subtle, but a slight vibration continued. Peacefulness in mind, body really felt lighter. Thoughts would pass as if in background. Prominent breath noted again. A small gap between in and out breath noticed. Sat for 1 hour. On reflection, the ever-changing nature of breathing process is noticed even more. Mindfulness during the day. It is really pleasing to note the reducing of reactional mind, either to things, events, or people. I have repeatedly heard from Bhante that noticing what is taking place in the present, or simply mindfulness, is all that is needed. Did not get the meaning at the beginning, but just persisted with practice. Few years into Saturday program, it makes sense. Not as theory, but because of experiencing the effects of the mindfulness, not only in formal practice, but also in daily life. Although there are no words to express this awareness well, the mind knows how to find its way home to peace. Sometimes it is a longer journey than other times, but the map is becoming clearer with effective options. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merits to you for the practical teachings. Theruvan Saranai. End of the report.
Okay, now when we consider the mindful walking and sitting, you have to give this mind a task, right? Especially in the beginning, we tell you to observe this object very closely. Let's say the walking sensations or the breathing sensations. You try to notice the details of these sensations. Let's say the heel is touching first, then the arch is not touching, then the ball of your feet is touching, the toes are touching. That way you try to closely observe these sensations. And even the in-breath, out-breath, you can notice details. The in-breath is cooler, out-breath is warmer, in-breath is shorter probably, out-breath is longer. So that way, you can really observe details of this object. Most people, though, they don't appreciate observing the details of this object. They are saying the breathing sensations are there, the walking sensations are there. What is the purpose of observing? They will say like that. But when every moment we observe these details, you are guaranteed that your mind is in the present moment. Every moment that you are noticing your breath, the warmth, the coolness, or the length of the breath, every moment you are noticing these details, your mind is present. Right? So, in order for this mind to stay present, you have to give it a task. You have to give this mind a task. What is the task? observe the details of this object, the walking sensations, the breathing sensations. You give this mind a task to observe the details of this object. That way only you can keep this mind in the present. Otherwise, if you just think that I am present, I'll stay present, I'll keep this mind in the present moment, that won't work. You have to give it a task. The task is to observe the details of these bodily sensations. And that way you have to train your mind. That is the proper approach, especially for a beginner. We encourage them to observe the details of these bodily sensations. And when you start observing, you can find a whole lot of information in this process. Some people, they can write a few pages explaining the details of a walking body, how complicated this body is, how much details that are there, how the body is balancing itself while walking, right? Probably like 60, 70 kilograms are always balanced on a single foot. When you walk, the weight is always balanced on a single foot, right? So you can really see how much of a refined machine this body is. And that way, you can even apply this practice into your daily lives. For example, let's say having a meal. If you start noticing the details of this process, you will become overwhelmed by those details. How much complicated this eating process is. How much details, sensations are there in this process. Right? So that way, we approach the mindful practice. And when you approach it, you realize that by observing these details, I am mindful. I'm in the present moment. So that's the approach you have taken. And when you do it for a while, when you do it for a while, you realize that these processes are changing so rapidly. Ever-changing breath, you start to notice. And how much rapid that change is, you start to notice. You realize that the breathing is becoming subtle. And sometimes the breathing sensations are fully disappearing. Sometimes it is turning into a vibration. Right? So the changes you start to notice when you do this close observation. And your mind will tell that there is no longer breathing, only a vibration is there. But what has truly happened is your breathing, it has changed into a vibration. The breathing has different forms and shapes of it. And vibration kind of a feeling too is a different shape or a form of the same breathing process. Right? So this way we can really observe this ever-changing breath or the bodily sensations, right? And little by little, even daily practices, daily activities, you can apply your mindfulness into daily practice as well. And when you do this, as I mentioned in the talk, you realize how your mind is changing. Few months of practice, what is the value it has added? All you have to do is be conscious, be mindful. That's all you have to do. Let's say compulsive thoughts are there. Simply be mindful. Your mind is angry. Simply be mindful. You are sad or irritated. Simply be mindful. Right? So that way, Only mindfulness is needed. But you don't realize it right away. You think that there should be more things to control this mind, more things to find peace. That way you think. You don't think this simple remedy of mindfulness will do the magic. Right? That way you think. But little by little, when you practice for a while, you realize you only need mindfulness. Whatever happens, simply be aware. Simply be the observer. That's all you have to do. And when you do that, you are no longer the owner of that process. There's a gap. You are the observer. You are no longer identified with whatever that's happening. Let's say anger is there. But when you become the observer, you are no longer identified with the anger. When you realize that your mind is agitated, you are no longer identified with that agitation. Right? So that's the very approach. In this new age, in YouTube, there's this idea, cameraman never dies. Right? Whatever the incidents, videos, maybe some life-threatening incident, maybe some wild animal trying to kill this person, the video is up there, and when you go to the comments, you realize this is proof that cameraman never dies. It has certain sarcasm as well, but the idea is true even for the practice. If you become the observer, nothing will happen to you. You are always protected, right? Protected by the practice of mindfulness. So that's the very approach. And later, you realize how much of an impact this practice is having. And you can't really explain it. You have to experience it. That's the way. That's the way. No matter how much we try, you can't really explain that change to a beginner. They will ask 101 questions and still be confused at the end. Right? So you can't really put it into words. You can practice and you can experience it. You can experience how this practice is changing your mind. You can experience that your mind, whatever happens, it seems like your mind knows the way back home. The home is the present moment. Right? The dangers are either in the past or the future thoughts. When you train yourself time after time, when you train the mind time after time, naturally your mind is returning to the present. It seems like your mind, wherever it goes, your mind knows the way back home. That's what matters. That's what matters. Right? So that's the way of the practice. Thank you for sharing your experience. I'm sure it will be encouraging for a beginner that's here.
Thank you, Panthe.
I think take over, Rusha, that's fine.
Thank you, Panchani. And yes, thank you for reading the report, Panchani, and to Panthe for his valuable advice. I believe you mentioned, Panchani, that's the only report we have today, but that means we have some time to take some any questions that participants have, either based on their own practice or what they heard in the talk today. So if anyone would like to ask a question and get Panthe's advice, it's an opportunity. Please raise your hand in Zoom and we can invite you to ask your question. While we're waiting for people to consider if they have a question, with your permission, Panthe, your talk reminded me of a quote, another quote from a movie that I watched recently. And the quote was, "All you can control in your life is how you respond to it." And listening to your talk and that coming up in my mind, I was thinking that that is what mindfulness is helping us develop, is our ability to respond wisely to what happens in our lives. I'd be interested to hear your reflections on that, Bhante, whether that is a good way to think about how mindfulness helps us.
Yes, definitely. You can respond wisely. That's the part that you have under your control. So we did this movie quotes for one of the children's program, and there only I found this today's quote as well, which is from Kung Fu Panda, I guess. Right. So the movies sometimes they have very nice quotes, which you can really apply in the practice of mindfulness as well. Now, let's say you can respond wisely, but sometimes we react, right? So that reaction, it comes automatically, and it's like a compulsive reaction. So for a beginner, they have to be more compassionate towards themselves, because they start to see how much of reactions that are there, how much I am getting angry due to these incidents, situations. And when you really see a person who has become a slave to anger, they have no control of themselves. It's like some other device is controlling them, some other demon is controlling them. And when you see those road rage videos, you can really see it, right? So these reactions come. For a beginner, they have to be more compassionate towards themselves, understand this is how the mind is, understand that this is why we practice. That way, they have to give some time, they have to take some time. And if they try to blame themselves for these reactions, it is not fair, right? It takes time. So little by little, we improve the practice. And you don't wait till those moments to practice, till those incidents. Instead, leisurely, when you are free of your mind, when you freely practice, before the troubles come, you have to practice. Right, that's why we recommend daily practice, daily 20 minutes at least of sitting, probably early in the morning, 20 minutes of walking before bed. It's good. That way you have to approach little by little. I'm sure there are people in this audience who are practicing like 40 minutes, 1 hour of sitting and walking, right? So that's 2 hours per day. They are investing in the practice. So that way you have to invest. You don't wait till the troubles come. Most people, they wait for the troubles and then try to be mindful. That's crazy, right? You have to be prepare yourself. You have to first prepare yourself. Then only you can use that mindfulness, that sharpened mindfulness when the troubles come. Right, so initially you have to be compassionate towards yourself. Don't worry about the moments that you get angry or have these compulsive reactions. Little by little, you realize you are able to respond more and more. That ability will improve. And responding, it involves the forebrain, the thinking, reflecting kind of abilities. But the reactions are more like your hindbrain, the animal part in you, fear, flight and fear, fear, fight and flight response, they say, right? So those things involve lower parts, the hindbrain, the animal parts in you, but the responding, it involves the forebrain, thinking, reflection parts. So even in the sciences, they say that by practicing mindfulness, the control comes into the forebrain more and more. The new connections, new pathways are formed, and the forebrain is having more and more control over these situations. That change is happening. So you have to allow this brain to change. You have to allow this mind to change. It takes time. It takes time, but it's a worth investment. That's all we have to do. Little by little, you invest till you make mistakes. There are falls. You get emotional. You react, but you have to compassionate. Be compassionate towards yourself and invest in the practice in long term. And when you do a few months of practice, if your practice is correct, then you realize I'm having more and more control over my mind. I am able to respond wisely. That's the change that you are referring to, Arosha. So little by little, we have to go towards that direction. We are human now, so we have to be compassionate towards oneself as well.
Thank you very much, Bante, for that advice. We have a hand up from Rajika. Rajika, please go ahead and ask your question.
Avasarai Pante, thank you very much, Arosha, for the opportunity. When I listened to the talk today and with the Arosha's question and Pante's answer, I thought of sharing one of my experience or the I think I have shared this before with this program few months ago, but I thought still because it's relevant, I'll still add some feedback. I think with mindfulness, last few years, I realized I am more kind of person react to the situation than respond, and that's my kind of inbuilt process or something. So, but with the mindfulness, I realize I have that habit, and the other habit. I realize I'm always dwell with the negative thoughts and just keep thinking of the same thing, even though I have a 100 or 1,000 of positive things to focus. But with this practice, once I realize I have those habits, and I try to kind of, I don't know if I actually did something or it just automatically happen with the mindfulness, but I keep practicing mindfulness daily. And recently something happened last year, something happened at my workplace. I usually react to that kind of situation like spontaneously without thinking anything. But that particular moment, someone in my mind kind of told me, you shouldn't react at this very moment. You just wait. So I didn't say anything, didn't do anything, and I just waited that particular moment. And then gradually I find I didn't really dwell more as I used to be earlier, and I could easily let go of the incident few days after. But I used to think more I mean few weeks that kind of situation earlier, but this time I could let it go easily. And as Arosha said, with the mindfulness and a lot of other listen to a lot of podcasts, one thing I really focus at this very moment is whatever happened around me, I have no control anything happened around me. So the only thing I can control the my response, how I respond to the things happening around me. So I just try to focus on my response rather than thinking of the what's happening around me. And that way I can kind of keep my peace of my mind. So I thought of sharing that experience because it's very relevant to the talk and the questions and answer today. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Pante, if you can give me further advice, I would really appreciate that.
Thanks for sharing. So you too are realizing the illusion of control, it seems, right? So little by little, we become better. And one thing you mentioned that by keeping the silence, if you can easily let it go, then it's good. But sometimes we keep the silence and, we think about the incident for a long period, which might not be healthy. Sometimes those on the spot re responses or the reactions, it might be easier to deal with certain situations. I don't know, it depends, you have to decide. But we are not trying to be perfect, right? Even once in a while, we can make a mistake or react and see, depending on the situation, right? So that humanness will always be there, right? Even few days ago, somebody was talking about, anger or something like that, and that person was saying that they are able to control their anger. And I added that once in a while you can really get angry and see how it goes, right? You don't have to control all the time. Once in a while you can go back to the usual self. Like Rajika mentioned, your unique self. You can go back to it and, react and see how it is, right? Maybe at times you have to do it. It'll be easier to, have that natural response or the reaction than suffering for a few weeks or so, right? So it's always, trial and error kind of a process. You have to figure out your own balance. For some people, the balance will be keeping the silence more and more. For some people, it will be responding more and more, right? We don't know. It depends on our own unique behavior. So you have to find your own balance. Nobody else can find the balance for you, right? So that's important. It depends on our own behaviors, our own traits, habits. So you have to become conscious of yourself, find the proper balance that works for you. Me personally, if I take, I am more into the silent part, and that works for me. But for some of you, it might not be the best balance. So you have to figure out your own balance by becoming conscious of yourself. You can do it. You can do it. It takes time, but we are in this process of learning, trial and error. We learn, we develop ourselves, and by doing that for a few months, few years, you can really find the balance that works for you. It's more like, continual improvement. There's no never ending, but little by little, you become much better. Dealing with your own thoughts, emotions, and handling the situations much more wisely. That's how we are. That's how the practice works. So we are becoming wiser and wiser dealing with the situations, difficulties of our lives. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much, Bante, for that advice. Let me I seek your permission to add two comments on your answer if you allow me.
You're not gonna blame me, are you?
No. I find as you said, like some people say things then and there, and I think there are three kind of stages. Like people can say, no, four kind of stages. People can say at whatever happened, like they can react or whatever, like express their feelings and then they can forget it. And some people can stay silent and they can keep it, in their thoughts longer. And sometimes they said it, whatever expressed, and they can keep it longer too in their mind. And then the fourth situation is they can keep silent and let it go easily. I think that's the stage. Like we're looking for, but I'm not saying that, as you said, I'm not perfect. At that particular moment, I was able to do that, so it's kind of the remarkable stage for me with the mindfulness. But I'm still, I'm still reacting even today with my family matters. I'm with my children, I'm reacting, but I find I'm more mindful even though when I react, someone inside myself telling me, you are reacting at this moment. It's earlier, I was reacting, I didn't know that I'm reacting. But at least having that kind of awareness of what my behavior is, I think it's more helpful for me to direct my journey. I don't think it's a destination, it's just a journey. So I'm just trying to guide myself for the, I feel, the right direction. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I just want to add that part as well. I know I'm not perfect, but I feel like I'm kind of getting better than I used to be. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Rajika, and thank you very much, Bhante, for your responses and advice. I note the time as well, and we're coming to the end of the allotted time for the session. So I'd like to now wrap up by just briefly reflecting on our practice today. So we came together and spent some time in mindfulness practice under the guidance of Venerable Bhante, and also listened to the practice reports and reflected on the guidance for beginners in this program. And just to come together and recollect and reflect our gratitude to Bhante for his analysis of the reports and his talk, valuable advice he's given us to help us continue developing our practice. Hopefully, taken together, all these different activities will help us continue and strengthen our mindfulness practice and equip us to continue and report our experiences at future sessions as well. So I would like to wholeheartedly thank Venerable Bhante for his generosity in giving us his time and wisdom to support our practice. We hope that the merits of this noble activity will support and enhance Bhante's own practice, and we hope he will be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. Thank you very much, Bhante. And I'd also like, on behalf of the organizers and the participants, to express my gratitude to Most Venerable Udayirigama Dhammajiva Mahathero for his encouragement and guidance to initiate this program of mindfulness for beginners in English, and all the work of the Satipatthasala Foundation. And finally, I'd like to thank all the organizers for their help in delivering this program, and for all of you, the participants, for your engagement to make this a valuable experience for everyone participating. With that, I will end today's program. We will meet again next week at the same time. In the chat, I have posted the poster for next week. It is an open program, so if you'd like to share the poster with friends and others who may be interested, please do, and encourage part as well. Thank you very much, and I hope you all have a very mindful week ahead.